It's time now for Living Theology, a weekly program in which Dr. John B. McDonald seeks to equip and encourage you to become more like Jesus Christ, living with competence and joy. With today's episode, here's Dr. McDonald.
In our series, Arguing with God, we ask the question, does God ever change his mind? To explore and answer this question, let's take a fresh look at an ancient incident. The Israelites are in the wilderness waiting for Moses, who has been with God on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. We read of this in Exodus chapter 24, verses 15 to 18. During Moses' absence, the Israelites make a golden calf, claiming it as the God that delivered them from Egypt. Next, they worship the inanimate hunk of metal. This is idolatry, an act that displaces God in their lives, diminishes their own humanity, and distorts creation. Here's what the Lord says to Moses in chapter 32, verse 9. I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now, therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them in order that I may make a great nation of you. Most of us would retreat in fear, but not Moses. Douglas Stewart, in his commentary of Exodus, writes that, quote, God was challenging Moses rather than commanding him. It was a rhetorical way of saying to Moses, here's what I will do unless you intervene, end quote. Moses then engages with the Lord, and here's what we read in Exodus 32, verses 11 to 13. But Moses implored the Lord his God and said, O Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, with evil intent did he bring them out, to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from your burning anger and relent from this disaster against your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by your own self and said to them, I will multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have promised I will give to your offspring, that they shall inherit it forever. Here are five important elements we can discern in the response of Moses. First, he has an attitude of reverence. Here's an insight I've found helpful in a partial understanding of reverence. It's defined as a wholesome dread of displeasing the one we love. And as you read what Moses said to the Lord in Exodus 32, you can discern that attitude of wholesome dread of displeasing Yahweh, the one he loves. This attitude permeates Moses' engagement with the Lord, an attitude of reverence. Second is Moses implored the Lord his God. The meaning of the Hebrew word translated implored is also captured by entreat, sought the favor of, and besought. It reflects an attitude, again, of reverence, also humility. Third, Moses asks questions. He does not make demands. By these questions, Moses wonders how God is honored in the threatened destruction of the very people he delivered from slavery in Egypt. Fourth, he next recalls the historical promises the Lord made concerning Abraham's descendants, Israel. Five, Moses then pleads with the Lord to turn from your burning anger and relent. The Hebrew word there for relent is nacham, change your mind from this disaster. If I was reading this for the first time, I would be surprised, even shocked, by the Lord's response in Exodus 32, verse 14. The Lord relented. The Lord nacham. He changed his mind from the disaster that he had spoken of bringing on his people. God changed his mind. What we can learn from this incident, mulling over what we've just read, I feel I'm walking in unfamiliar territory. It is both disquieting and expanding. Here are four things we can learn from this, and you may have more. First, prayer really works. Clement of Alexandria describes prayer as keeping company with God. Prayer is not a passive, ineffectual discipline. It is a dynamic engagement with the living God. And as Moses was keeping company with God, God changes his mind. Regarding this, Douglas Stewart again states that, quote, the idea that God would not shift direction or adjust his plans in respect to prayer is foreign to the Bible, but unfortunately at home with some forms of deterministic theology, end quote. Prayer does make a difference, and prayer is not an empty activity or powerless discipline. Prayer changes things. Second, Moses was changing. In the previous podcast, we encountered an excuse-laden Moses resisting God's call to Israel in Exodus chapter 3. Now we see a man who is fully invested in God's purposes for Israel. He demonstrates this not only by his intercession for Israel, but also his willingness to give his life for Israel's. Keeping company with God has a transforming effect upon one's character. Prayer has the effect of changing me, the one who prays. Third, God is open to real, honest dialogue. By this I mean, God wants us to be open, honest, even bold as we keep company with him. This extends the first point I made. The theologian Terence Fretheim may take it a bit too far, but he has an idea when he writes, this text reveals God as one who is open to change. God will move from decisions made, from courses charted, in view of the ongoing interaction with those affected. God treats the relationship with the people with an integrity that is responsive to what they do and say. End quote. Again, perhaps this statement is more acceptable if we first maintain an attitude of reverence, and to acknowledge that the ultimate purposes of God will never be frustrated. And fourth, God is greater than we can imagine. This incident poses a conundrum for me. How can the Lord's honor and glory be maintained as he changes his mind about judging Israel's inexcusable idolatry? Some may think this change of mind makes God smaller and weaker. I would say the opposite is the case. Our God is ready, willing, and able to deal with any array of possibilities and still bring about his ultimate purposes. This is one indicator of his immeasurable greatness and wisdom and power. Our God was even ready, willing, and able to become a full member of the human race, and his name is Jesus. Even when it meant crucifixion, the most shameful death of all, even then, through death, through apparent weakness, the God revealed to us as Jesus Christ was advancing his ultimate purposes, his utter vindication, and his incomparable glory. Our God is great and greatly to be praised.
You've been listening to John B. MacDonald in Living Theology, a program designed to equip and encourage you to become more like Jesus Christ. Dr. MacDonald has an extensive online writing ministry. To learn more about John and his work, follow the links on the producer's page at HopeStreamRadio.com.